May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. Hymn 1072.
God, we will read together the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. The Gospel according to John, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And may God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for this favour and privilege to assemble ourselves in thy house of prayer, to gather again once more around thy word. Lord, thou hast been merciful and very gracious. And we do pray that in this gathering here this evening, that it might please thee to bless us with thy presence here this evening. Grant us, Lord, that we may be lifted above the dying things of this life. And as we have turned in to thy house of prayer this evening. We may know thy blessing resting upon us each here. And we would remember those also unable to be here that are listening in, and we ask that same blessing. Lord, remember them and visit them and do them good and help them with the various challenges there are in worshipping away from thy house. Lord, we do pray then. Look in mercy, we humbly pray, and grant us that our worship here this evening might be led by thy Spirit, or that our hearts might be moved, worked upon by thy Holy Spirit, that he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, that he may lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus, that we may be conformed to the image of thy dear Son by the work of grace within. Lord, have mercy upon us. We are poor dying creatures in a dying world. We come with nothing fit, nothing suitable in and of ourselves. One said, my best is stained and dyed with sin. My all is nothing worth. And we do pray then that thou wilt look upon us in and through the person of thy dear Son. Oh, that we might seek to approach in that right way. Oh, Lord, we've read this evening together of that right way, approaching in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have pressed upon us those tokens and evidences that the Father himself loves us. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless us with that sense of being accepted in the Beloved. Lord, when we pray and ask for things, and in mercy they are granted, oh, may we truly esteem and value those answers. May they be used to encourage us. Whether we pray for providential things or spiritual, we thank thee, Lord, for those tokens of prayers answered. And we pray and thank thee for that mercy that we have found. And we would pray that thou wilt go on to be gracious and heal in body as well as soul. And grant, Lord, that we may be led on to pray for the greater matter of our never dying soul. Oh, we would not rest on our prayers for providential blessings. Oh, but we ask, most gracious God, oh, that they may be sweetly used to encourage us, to try what our poor prayers can do. Oh, we may see the mercy that is to be found in and through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might, though of a sinful race, press through the crowd in necessity. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, draw us, we pray. Lord, we need thy divine help. There are many things to hinder. There's the unbelief of our own sinful hearts. There is an enemy who would throw obstacles in our path, cause us to doubt. But oh, we praise thee that thou art on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And thou hast said, there is, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. Oh, may we prove it. However hard our hearts might feel to be, one touch, one word, one smile, oh, one precious drop of that precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, what healing virtue flows through our Lord Jesus, that channel of mercy, oh, that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Help us then, we pray. Lord, do glorify thyself here. Grant, Lord, that it might please thee to lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, touch hearts and meet cases even this night. May there be one and another who leave different to how they came. Oh, that our hearts might be burning within us as we leave this house of prayer. Oh, may thy blessing rest upon us each. Lord, we thank thee for every mercy and favour. Mercies countless as the sands which daily we receive. And thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. Lord, there is a cloud of bereavement hanging over the church and congregation here. Well, we do pray for our dear brother and his dear family who are mourning the loss of a dear loved one. And the church here are mourning the loss, a praying faithful member taken from them. May there be many that Lady sings to heart. We do pray that thou would help the family and our dear brother in this path they are called to walk. Lord, thou knowest the sorrow. They sorrow not as those that have no hope. But there is the loss. Lord, we do pray that as many are going, as it were, about their business day by day, those that keenly feel the loss will be graciously sustained. Oh, may they prove thy faithfulness and thy mercy. May they not be forgotten of thee. though Satan may take and seek to take opportunity. Oh, we pray, be that wall of fire round about them. Be the glory in the midst, we pray. And hold them up and keep them near to thee. Oh, may we be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May the death of our dear departed sister in Christ be the life of many in the exercise of their soul. May that question be asked, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. O Lord, do bring to our concern the state of our never-dying souls. Lord, eternity is vast. Our lives are short. Keep us from sins of presumption. Lord, keep us from the spirit of the Pharisee, resting in our own good behaviour, the good opinion of others that others may have of us. Oh, may it be that each one of us are brought to look entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, help us then in those deep paths of sorrow, affliction, trouble. We ask that they might be sanctified to us each, that they may be used for thy honour and thy glory, and for the good of our never-dying souls. Put thy hand upon us, separate us in our affections, our desires from the dying world around us. Set our feet on that straight and narrow way which leads to eternal life. Deepen the work of grace in the hearts and lives of thy people in the day in which we live. Pour out thy Spirit upon us, we humbly pray. Help us to walk worthy. May we be more godly in our conduct, our conversation. Help us to live, Lord, as lights shining in this dark world. May we be ever ready to testify of that good hope within. Keep us from being ashamed of thee. Keep us from leaning on the arm of flesh. Oh, may we lean harder and harder upon thee. May our true desire be, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. And there are many besetting sins, and there are idols, things that must be prized from us. We look to thee. The work is thine alone. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And Lord, it is that which we pray for. A day of thy power. One of the days of the Son of Man. Oh, pour out, send out thy light and thy truth. Revive thy work. O Lord, take away all our sin, our iniquities, and receive us graciously. Bless us with that good hope through grace. Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray for this cause of truth. Bind them together in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. Oh, may they endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keep out the little foxes from spoiling the vine. The vine has tender grapes. Oh, Lord, do awake that north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon the garden that thou hast planted here, that the spices thereof might flow forth. Oh, may it please thee to come amongst them, and delight thyself in their gatherings, and truly bless this cause of truth, we pray. Gather in from this village and locality such as should be saved. Lord, build up the churches both here and throughout our land. In the day we live in, Lord, there is much we stand in need of. To whom else can we go? Oh, thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, Lord, do then remember us and bless us and pardon our poor prayers. Lord, look in mercy upon us now as we turn to thy word and open up our understanding of it. And may the power of thy Spirit apply the word. Lord, we pray. Pardon our every sin, anything we have asked wrongly. Lord, those things we've forgotten to ask for, we ask that thou wilt grant as we pray all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon the worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we've read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 22. Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Gospel according to John, chapter 16, and the 22nd verse. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. It's difficult for us to truly comprehend the sorrow and the trouble that the disciples felt in these last few days of the life of our Lord Jesus prior to his crucifixion. He told them many things he said he had kept from them. And those things that he had told them, yes, there was the wonderful times where he encouraged them. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But here, in this chapter 16, he speaks to them concerning what lay before them. They were his disciples, followers of their despised master. The world hated him. They were told the world would hate them. Those solemn verses we read at the beginning of our reading, how that there would be those that would seek to persecute them. There would be those that, in killing them, would think that they were doing the service of God. I'm not sure whether we can really comprehend the anguish, the trouble, the difficulty, the thoughts that might arise. Those that are thinking that they are doing the service of God in persecuting the early church. The Apostle Paul gave testimony of being one of them. He tells us that he persecuted the church of God and wasted it in a zeal, a love to God, but blinded to the reality of God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Oh, what darkness. What sorrow that the Lord graciously tells them that he is going to leave them. He says, a little while and ye shall not see me. We come to the end of our reading.
Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. And shall leave me alone. Oh, there are those in this 11, sorry, that would depart. Naturally speaking, in his hour of need, his three inner circle of disciples, Peter, James and John, could not watch with him 1 hour as he grappled with the powers of sin and Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, their eyes heavy. Peter himself, full of love, zeal, but out of weakness, denies his Lord and Master with oaths and curses. And yet the tender compassion, the loving care, he doesn't express much of his own self. He knew they would desert him. Ye shall be scattered. And yet the care and compassion, the tender heart that he shows in his feelings toward them, knowing that the things that he was saying were bringing them to be full of sorrow. Ye now therefore have sorrow. Now they were told some hard things, and it filled them with sorrow. And his leaving them, well, he was on the resurrection morning, and in that day of the resurrection to make known himself to them again. But it was only for a short while. Was it 40 days before he ascended into heaven? And everything was changing for them. They had had the Lord Jesus Christ present bodily with them. Every question they had, they could ask. Direction, guidance, fear, they could share it with him. How often we read of them asking for help. You think of them in the boat when he was asleep, and how they awoke him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He had been there present. They had had the comfort and the consolation of his presence bodily. And now he was to leave them. The end of his humiliation was coming. As he was to rise from the dead on that resurrection morning, he was exalted. His humiliation was over. He said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father." Oh, the fears, the sorrows that were pressed upon the hearts of these disciples. But amongst it all was this knowledge given to them that it was necessary for him. He must suffer. He must bleed and die. He must rise again. He must ascend into glory. He must take his place at the Father's right hand in heaven above as their representative, as their mediator, as their great high priest. It was necessary that these things be done. And in so doing, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be sent. Oh, what a day that was when the Holy Ghost was poured out at the day of Pentecost. Oh, we think of those cloven tongues of fire above their heads and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the effect of it, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, he will be your guide. He will be your comforter. It will be Christ in you, the hope of glory. The old dispensation, the Old Testament days, the old form of worship is coming to an end. The curtain of the temple is to be rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And a new and living way is brought in. The disciples and the Lord's people down to the end of time would have this access into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. An acceptance with the Father. Hitherto, he says, have ye asked nothing in my name? They did not know what it was to pray the Father in the name of Jesus. But they would. Oh, what a gift was given. Oh, I wonder how highly we esteem the gift of prayer. The acceptance that we have before a holy, holy God in the name of Jesus through his finished work at Calvary. That access by his precious blood. Oh, that we can approach. We can know union and communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, there was many new things, many changes for them. Yes, there were to be those hard things, and their hearts were full of sorrow. But the promise is given. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Ye knew all about it. He knew how they were feeling. How touched with a sympathy. Oh, and beloved friends, what a great comfort this word is this evening for you and me. You might say, well, this is just a lovely, wonderful illustration of the Lord's particular love to his 11 disciples the night in which he was betrayed. But beloved friends, the Holy Spirit has caused this to be recorded in Scripture. That you and I might read, and that it might please God to take this text we have this evening and apply it personally to you. You may not have the same sorrow. We have not that same sorrow as the 11 that night. But the Lord's people are an afflicted and poor people. And their path is one full of care and trouble at times. Yes, there are the joys interspersed, and we're thankful for that. But it is recorded in the Word of God, it is through much tribulation that we must walk through this wilderness here below. And there will be those times when things come into our lives that cause us sorrow. And this same most blessed remedy that the disciples had given to them may be given to you and me. And what is it? But I will see you again. They were to be in great sorrow. They were in sorrow for what they heard then. They were to be in greater sorrow for their own actions on that night. They all had to lay these things to their own heart. They had the sorrow when they thought upon what had taken place in the judgment hall and before the people and then at Calvary. Oh, that sorrow of his body being laid in the tomb. But what was it that turned their sorrow into joy? It was a risen Saviour. I will see you again. I will see you again. And what I ask you, I inquire this evening, those that have a sorrowful heart, and it could be sorrow through various things. It's not for me to give a list of the many sorrows that you may have. But I know what would turn whatever sorrow you have this evening into joy. And it is a risen Saviour appearing for you. It will have that same effect. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. I wish. In some respects, I could give it to you each, but I can't. But the Lord knows. He knows those of you that are of a heavy and sorrowful heart this evening. And he knows all about your case. Oh, and I would seek to encourage you, dear friends, as the disciples of John the Baptist took up the body of their master and buried it, they went and told Jesus. And that is the secret, isn't it? Going and telling Jesus. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Oh, there is mercy to be found. There is one that can bind up the broken in hearted, the broken hearted. One who can still pour in the oil and the wine. Who can come right where you are. Who can set you on his beast and take care of everything for you, as that good Samaritan did in the parable. Oh, his name is Jesus, the friend of sinners, who still receiving sinners to himself, poor and undone they might be, full of sin, full of a sense of unworthiness of self. Oh, yet greater, Lord, thou art, and all my doubts and fears. Oh, your sins are great. Oh, but greater is the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, you say, how can I come? I don't deserve the least of his notice. Oh, you wouldn't be speaking so freely if you knew what I had done. What I was carrying, if you knew my history. Oh, the Lord Jesus said he came. It wasn't the righteous, the sinners Jesus came to save. Oh, the righteous, they need not a physician. Oh, it's the sick. It's the poor, it's the blind, it's sinners Jesus came to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Helpless in and of themselves, without hope in themselves, lost, ruined and undone through sin. Oh, the mercy. The grace of God that shines forth through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's empty sinners, empty handed. The hymn writer says, only nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Your fig leaf covering, your patched up righteousness, you'll have to cast it aside. He won't make it better. He won't patch it up for you. is take away the filthy garment. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? Oh, it's a glorious robe, a robe of righteousness, the life of a sinless man. It's a perfect hiding place, a perfect covering. And he freely gives it. He puts it on his poor people, and they in him are acceptable. Oh, what a glorious gospel, beloved friends. The sorrowful. He speaks of a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow. And so, beloved friends, you may find the same order of things. Before honour is humility. Before light, you may have darkness. Before joy, oh, there will be sorrow. Oh, that the Lord would shine that light of love and liberty into dark hearts this evening. Maybe it is sorrowful, a sorrowful heart, and a dark one. You're walking in darkness and you have no light. You can't see clearly. You can't make out the Lord's dealings with you. Ye now therefore have sorrow. These things are ordered. Oh, there is to be some teaching. Oh, wait, beloved friends, upon him in prayer. Wait for him. Wait for him to speak to you through his word. Wait for him to seal your heart with a promise. Seek that he might give you a token for good. Seek that he might give you some evidence. Seek that he might turn that sorrow into joy. Plead with him that he might shine into your dark heart and fill you with the light of the glorious gospel. The sense that Jesus died and rose again for me. The witnessing of the Holy Spirit in your heart, where you cannot find the trouble that you feel now. And the sense of pardoned sin, whereby you feel that they are cast behind his back and remembered no more. Like the cloud parting, evaporating, revealing the sunlight, not a trace of it left in the sky. I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And he did. In your own time you can read on in this gospel of the women who came early in the morning. Dear Mary Magdalene, woman, why weepest thou? What did she say? They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. What sorrow! Oh, what added grief! Not only could she not understand, her mind had not been enlightened to what had really taken place. She had seen his body laid in that tomb. Oh, but she did not know the meaning of it. What sorrow filled her heart. But when there is an empty tomb, the darkness of her mind, heart filled with grief, they have taken away my Lord, I know not where they have laid him. At best, she thought she might tend to his body, having prepared those spices, desire in love to show more of her love. But it was one word, and her joy was unspeakable. What did he say? He said, Mary. She couldn't discern his appearance. He somehow withheld it from her. She thought he was the gardener, but his voice, Mary. Oh, that would do it this evening, wouldn't it? The Lord speaking to you, so applying his word, so filling your heart with the riches of his grace that is personal. A personal communication between your soul and your God. Like Thomas, those days later, oh, you'll have to exclaim, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Does that mean you'll live in joy and peace and light and liberty for the rest of your earthly days? No. Sadly, you and I will have to prove the sinfulness of our hearts. Times we will prove the truth of that word, but your sins have separated between you and your God. Not eternally, blessed be his holy name. Not finally, but from time to time, carelessness, prayerlessness, indifference, lukewarmness, sins arise. And it's like that cloud that comes between. Oh, the mercy of God is that He never leaves his people. But we sometimes lose a sense of that joy. We lose a sense of that peace. We lose a sense of his presence. And then it's back again we must come. With that same prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate those sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. O Lord, return, smile, shine upon this dark heart again. O Lord, shine light into my heart. Bring me into the love of Christ again. O, break my hard heart, melt it in love. O, not with a rod, but with love, Lord. That which is so much more effective in the breaking of our hard hearts, the love of Christ. We talk about it being shed abroad in our hearts. Well, may it be so by the Holy Ghost working in us, that it might be Christ in you, the hope of glory. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Hymn 263.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that is amiss in our worship here this evening. Do take us each home in peace and in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.